For over a week, the Detroit Free Press has been exploring the impact of Michigan's two decades of charter schooling. Much of the reporting has raised serious doubts about the oversight, transparency, and effectiveness of the state's nearly 400 charters. It's cited instances of wasteful spending, poor academic performance, a lack of regulation, and resistance to reform. The paper also acknowledges some are well-run and effective. Democratic State Representative Ellen Kogan Lipton serves on the House Education Committee and represents parts of Oakland County. She joins us now to respond to the issues raised in the series and to comment about Michigan's Education Achievement Authority. Representative Kogan Lipton, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
The Detroit Free Press has created quite a stir with its multi-part series on Michigan charter schools. It raises a host of serious issues. Lack of transparency involving public money, in particular, the charter schools in Michigan get nearly $1 billion of public money to operate. The influence of the for-profit companies and the boards that run charters. In general, what do you make of these stories?
Well, I think it's high time that we as a state start looking at how we manage charters. It's something that my task force last year looked at when we traveled around the state making recommendations, you know, systemic recommendations about school reform. And the third plank in our task force, of course, was charter accountability. So I'm very happy that the state can begin to start having a serious conversation about charters in Michigan, which are very different than charters in other parts of the country.
How so?
Well, for one, 80% of our charters are for profit. That is far larger proportion by a factor of almost three than the next state behind us, which I believe is either Arizona or Florida, perhaps, which are in the 30% range. Secondly, we are unique in that the state, either through a Department of Education or legislative oversight, has absolutely no authority to close a poor-performing charter. In Michigan, the authorizer holds all the power, if you will. And we are unique in amongst the states in that the authorizers are not held accountable by anyone.
Well, let's go a little deeper there. Dan Quisenberry of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies, MAPSA, calls Michigan charter schools, quote, highly regulated, and maintains that there is a triple layer of oversight, the authorizer, the Department of Education, and he also cites the parents who choose to send their kids to charter schools. Is the problem with execution, or can this framework that Mr. Quisenberry refers to, can that be made to be effective?
Well, first of all, you know, as I said before, saying something doesn't make it so. You know, I can say the sky is green as many times as I want, and it doesn't make it green. So the fact that people that are doing well and profiting quite nicely from the current system in Michigan say that it's highly regulated doesn't make it so. And I think that the proof is in the what we're seeing now after 20 years of, you know, unregulation, is that what we know is that there are some charters that are doing well, there are many that are doing no better than schools in their surrounding communities.
But again, Representative Kogan Lipton, can this framework that Mr. Quisenberry refers to, can that be made to work, or does this oversight, does there need to be a different kind of framework as far as oversight goes?
Well, when you say framework, I assume you mean a different, a different sort of infrastructure like we see in other states.
Well, he says, again, the authorizer, the Department of Education, and parents effectively provide the oversight to charter schools. Can that framework be made to work, or do we need a different framework?
The answer is possibly if the department is given oversight, because as Mr. Quisenberry knows, the department has no oversight currently. So if the legislature gives the department oversight, as that occurs in other states, then it could work. And two, if authorizers were made to actually conduct audits and execute oversight function in terms of pulling charters from schools that are committing fraud or doing bad things, then yes, the framework could work. And thirdly, if parents were actually given appropriate information through very, very rigorous transparency requirements, which they're not. So yes, if we do what we need to do, then it could work. The problem is that we're not doing that, and it's not working.
And in your view, the MDE has virtually no authority here?
Well, I mean, I've read the charter statute. I mean, they don't have authority. The MDE has no authority to go in and examine these private contracts. Oftentimes, I mean, I've had to FOIA documents as a sitting legislator, so they're very hard to get. And number two, the MDE doesn't have any authority when and if instances of bad things happening are discovered. Only the authorizer can pull the charter, but there's no one that compels the authorizer to do that. So sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. More often than not, they don't.
We're talking with Democratic State Rep. Ellen Kogan Lipton, who serves parts of Oakland County. She also serves on the House Education Committee. We're talking about charter schools. We hope to get to the EAA here in just a minute. Your party's candidate for governor, Mark Schauer, spoke out on this issue yesterday, and I'd like to follow up on this issue of transparency and oversight. Part of what he said is he wants to subject private companies that run charter schools to the Freedom of Information Act. How would that play out in your view? How do you feel about that?
Well, it certainly would go a long way in terms of answering the question of which is what we oftentimes get when the public tries to get a hold of these private management contracts, which is they're private. You can't look at them, and it's interesting because there have even been instances of board members that have tried to get. I mean, these are the board members of a particular charter school that have tried to get copies of these contracts. Various management contracts, and they've been told they can't get them. Mm. And when they raise a fuss about it, there have been instances where they've been let go. Thank you for your service, but we'll find somebody else that doesn't ask as many questions. So certainly, it would go a long way in terms of at least giving people some tools to get access to the information. But the Freedom of Information Act is, can be somewhat cumbersome. And as I've learned when I tried to FOIA information from the EAA, and so I think that we need to go a step further in terms of simply requiring disclosure of this information. If you are doing the right thing by your students, there should be absolutely nothing to hide. And it should be made available to anyone who wishes to examine it. And to hide behind the curtain or the cloak of secrecy by saying that it's private, the revenue you're getting is from taxpayers, is really sort of ludicrous.
Mr. Schauer stopped short of calling for a limit on the number of charter schools in Michigan. or banning for-profit operators. Was he right to stop short of that, or should we be going there?
Well, we've tried that, right? We had a cap on charters, and then this administration and the legislature took the cap off, and so now we have, you know, an unlimited number of charters and even virtual schools. I think that a better model that we see in other states is, rather than a numerical cap, to have a set of very rigorous standards that if you meet these qualifications, meet these criteria, and are really adding to the educational mix and opportunities that are available to all children, including those with disabilities, then you can operate. And if you don't, then you don't operate in our state. I think that probably is a scheme that works far better than a numerical cap, and it's what we see in high performing educational states like Massachusetts and Connecticut.
The issues become intensely politicized. More than one person has commented that it's become a litmus test. You're for charters, you're conservative, you're against charters, you're liberals. Doesn't this environment make reform harder? And how do we go about this?
Well, first of all, you know, it shouldn't be. I think that if you create these bright lines, you're really not you're oversimplifying an issue that's too important to oversimplify. When you're talking about the educational opportunity and educational challenges in our state, so I think that to divide or to create a litmus test, I really don't think it's warranted. I think that when I was traveling around the state working on the Education Task Force report last summer, what I found is that there are far more opportunities for agreement than not, and certainly, you know, common sense recommendations like I called for in our report in terms of, you know, common sense transparency.
We had the superintendent of one highly performing Lansing charter school on our program earlier this week. I'd like to play a comment of his and get your response. This is Brian Shaughnessy of Lansing's Cole Academy.
That's what you need to do. Hit specific schools that need to be fixed, not address all charter schools do this and all charter schools do that. And just like all traditional schools can't be lumped into that same category, charter schools need the same courtesy.
We've got just a minute, Representative Kogan Lipton. It was apparent that he and other charter school administrators are feeling thrown under the bus here. Where does all this concern and need for reform leave the quality, responsible Michigan charter school administrators?
Well, I think that hopefully will allow them to come forward, tell their stories about doing the right thing. Because certainly he sounds extremely sincere, and I'm sure that there are others. But that does not negate the fact that there are many others that are not doing the right thing, and the massive unregulation is allowing the bad actors to proliferate and make an enormous amount of money at the expense of our taxpayers and most importantly our children.
We'll have you back and talk more about this real soon. We want to thank our guest, Democratic State Representative Ellen Kogan Lipton. She serves on the House Education Committee. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you.